views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I am Chris Stainis, the founder of Women of Wisdom, and I just want to quickly share that we're in our 25th year and we're planning some great things this year. And we're starting off tomorrow with a fundraising dinner. If you're in the Seattle area, it's a scrumptious Indian feast put on by one of our council members who is from India and is an amazing cook. And that's May 22nd. You can check that out on our website at womenofwisdom.org. Just look on the calendar for what's happening on May 22nd. And also Pampering Day for Women. It's an annual fundraising event that we do. It's a wonderful day to give yourself a rejuvenation time for women on June 4th. And you can purchase tickets for that as well. So today I'm fortunate to be speaking with Allison Carman. Allison had a successful law career until she changed her life from one of anxiety and fear when she discovered the power of maybe. And today, Allison works as an author, life coach, business consultant, and blogger. She is the author of The Gift of Maybe, a book offering hope and possibility in the face of uncertainty. She has a popular blog and online presence and has tens of thousands of international followers, all who are embracing the mindset of maybe to deal with the fast-paced, changing economic and political landscape all over the world. She also has a blog for Huffington Post and Psychology Today. So welcome, Allison.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your story, beginning with your story of having a stressed out life.
Well, I always say that I was addicted to certainty. If I didn't know what was going to happen next in my life, I projected things were going to be bad or they weren't going to work out. And I think a lot of us in society have this problem. We're so worried that what's ever going to happen in the future is not going to work out. And makes us feel so scared and vulnerable because ultimately deep down we're worried we're not okay. So what we do to manage this feeling is we write stories about what needs to happen for us to be okay. We might write the story, I'm going to have this job till I retire, or I'm going to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50, or my child's going to go to this college and then they'll be successful in life. And we hold on to these stories so tightly because they make us feel better. They make us feel sturdy and secure. But then the unexpected happens. We could lose our job. We don't have that money. Our child doesn't get into the college. And then we spin out of control and we start saying, life's not working out. I'm so worried. I'm so stressed. And this was really the story of my life. I was always so afraid and worried that I kept writing these stories. And when the unexpected happened, I spun out of control. And the biggest story that I wrote in my life was that I was going to grow up. I was going to become an attorney. I was going to get a job at a really large law firm. The balloons were going to come down. I was set for life. I'd have no more worries. And I actually achieved this goal. I actually went to law school. I got a job at a really large law firm looking over Central Park. And I remember walking to work my first day saying, I've arrived. No more worry. No more stress. My future is set. And then the second day of work, my office mate came in and said, hey, Allison, did you hear they're firing half the first years? And I was a first year. And I guess because I held that story so long that the minute it unraveled, I unraveled. And I stopped sleeping and I didn't feel well. And I really lost a lot of control of my life because I realized there was no certainty. And I couldn't keep writing stories because I couldn't even find the ground to it. And this went on for a really long time until one day I heard this beautiful Dallas story about this farmer. And he had a horse and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the farmer's son goes on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by and says to the farmer, you have the worst luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the army comes to take his son to war. But they can't take him because his leg is broken. The neighbor comes by and says, you have the best luck. And in the Taoist tradition, it just means things are neither good or bad. They just change. But for me, when I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. And for the first time, I realized that there's not just one way, that life has maybe. Life always has this opening. And it was more profound than one door closes, another door opens. It was actually like in this unknown place, in this place of uncertainty, that's where all the goodies lie. That's where my life is going to change. And it enabled me to shift my relationship with uncertainty. And in a way, uncertainty became my best friend because I realized in the unknown, something else would happen. So maybe everything's okay. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe this is good. And the dialogue just shifted me from this place where I was always afraid to this place where I was hopeful. And actually, eventually, it landed me in a place of faith, because the more you hang out in uncertainty, the more you understand that that's where life is happening. So maybe really shifted my life from a place of fear to a place of hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me of, one thing that's constant is change. And that need to be adaptable to change and being open to change is that question of, curiosity, that maybe kind of that question of curiosity, right. About what's going to happen next, instead of, oh, right. My gosh, what's happening to me? Life is horrible.
And you're so right, because if you think about it, the two most important things, relationships we have, is our relationship with love and our relationship with uncertainty, because relationship uncertainty is going to determine everything that we choose in life. Because like you just said, am I going to shut down? Am I going to open up? What job am I willing to take? Who am I willing to be in a relationship with? How am I going to invest my money? It all comes down to our ability to handle the unknown. And so if we could shift that and go from this fearful place where everything we don't know scares us to a place where everything we don't know becomes creative, becomes interesting, becomes fascinating, our life is going to shift. But we think knowing is the ticket, but in reality, we suffer because we think we know. If you think about it, in this moment, most of our suffering comes from we're projecting what we think is going to happen tomorrow. But the minute we could recognize, I don't know, but within not knowing, there's maybe, there's hope, there's possibility, it all starts to shift because we don't want to know. Because if we knew, we wouldn't be able to create all these amazing things in our lives. So it's this relationship that kind of dominates how we're going to live every day, the quality of our life, and what will manifest. And so maybe it's just one tool to constantly remind us you're not doomed, and maybe you are okay. And it really is very liberating.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you called this for yourself an addiction, like you were addicted to this, just like alcohol or workaholic, and I imagine workaholic was in there for you. You're a lawyer. There was some workaholic. Aspects there.
I was more addicted to certainty than I was a workaholic. I guess, my need to know maybe forced me to work hard because I wanted to know I was okay. So one of those stories was that if I work really hard, I'll be successful and I'll make a lot of money and everything will be okay. So everything was about how do I find safety and how do I find security. So I guess one sometimes leads us to another. But yes, I worked a lot, but it really wasn't about the work. It was about my fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, and fear does drive. So why do you think uncertainty frightens people so much?
I think ultimately we're afraid we're not okay. I think we feel that we're not safe. And also, I think we mind what happens. It's interesting. This great philosopher Krishnamurti says, everybody always asks me why I'm happy. And the reason I'm happy is because I don't mind what happens. And I think we could both sit here and say, yeah, if I didn't mind what happened, I didn't mind what would happen, I'd always be happy. But we mind. We mind if our children are healthy. We mind if what college they get into. We mind if we have money. We mind if we're not going to be able to pay our mortgage. So I think it creates these worries and these fears that things aren't going to work out. And what's going to happen then? What happens if I don't have enough money or my child's not okay? So we're always kind of battling with trying to let go. But at the same time, we mind what's happening. I think that's where the conflict of uncertainty and on the unknown, and it just makes us feel not stable and not secure. And that's why shifting the relationship is so important.
Yeah, and it's paying attention too, and being aware of possibilities.
Right, because we don't realize that this addiction we have or this need to know shuts us down. It makes us, we don't realize how often we are telling the story, this is not going to work out, or because this happened, that's not going to happen, or life's never going to change, or because I had, you know, something happened yesterday, it'll never work out tomorrow. So we're always forgetting that just because we don't know doesn't mean it's going to be bad, right? We think that just because we don't know, we think it's going to be bad. And we forget that life's not one lane. So all maybe does, it gives you the ability to be attentive to possibilities. And it's amazing because it's one little word, but the minute you say it, it's like a reminder, oh, wow, I'm not doomed. I'm not stuck. Maybe everything's okay. Maybe it'll get better. It sounds so simple, but I challenge everybody listening to this show, go out and use it. Go out and use it when you're feeling stressed and your neck is a little tight and you're feeling like a little negative about what's happening. And then suddenly you recognize, I have no idea what's going to happen next. And thank God, because maybe it'll get better. And maybe I will land a new client. And maybe I will get a new job. And maybe I don't know. And maybe that's okay. So it's really incredible. It was also incredible, too, the minute you engage in the idea of maybe, your mind stops the projection and your mind lands back into the moment. So for me, what happened is when I was using maybe, it stopped my stress and worry. But all of a sudden, when I wasn't projecting about the future all the time, I was very present. So what maybe also does, it allows you to sit in the moment and say, maybe there's something else for me to experience in this moment. And to me, that was the most profound thing of them all, that after all my trying to be present, I could never do it. But this little word just brings me back automatically. And here I am. And I say, what's possible?
That's true. Well, we're going to take a break now. And we'll come back and talk more with Allison Carman, author of The Gift of Maybe.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Ladies, it's time to treat yourself. Join the Women of Wisdom for their annual fundraiser Saturday, June 4th. This is a sacred pampering day for women at North Seattle College. If you are a business and want to be one of our pamperers, we still have space. It's going to be a day to relax and treat yourself. For more information and to get tickets, visit thewowconference.org. That's the WOW conference.org.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women, and we are talking with Allison Carman about The Gift of Maybe. So, Allison, You know, we've been talking about this and how it's changed your life, but let's talk about, you know, how is, because there's a lot of modalities out there for healing, changing people's lives, but what is, how is maybe, in your perspective, different from positive thinking?
Well, I love positive thinking. And I remember the first time I read Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, I'm like, I'm going to do this. This is going to change my life. And all day long, I was like, I'm going to hold these positive thoughts. And when something negative happened, I would just kind of suppress it down and say, I'm going to stay positive. And I did it all day long. And that night when I went to sleep, I had a nightmare that my mother died, my father died, my mother-in-law died, my father-in-law died. I fell asleep. I woke up from the nightmare. I fell asleep again and had the exact same nightmare. And when I woke up in the morning, I realized what I was doing is I was trying to suppress my negative thoughts. And I think that it's hard for some people to stay positive all day, number one. Number two is, if you're afraid of the unknown, it's almost impossible to stay positive. Let's say you go to work and you have, I'm saying, I'm going to have a positive attitude today. I'm going to land this client. My boss is going to like the project. My child's going to make the play. I feel really great. And all of a sudden, you don't land the client. And you're so afraid of the unknown. You're so afraid. What does this mean that I didn't land this client? How will I land another client? Will I lose my job? Your boss doesn't like the project. Am I going to get fired? Your child doesn't make the play. So all these things are bombarding us. And if you're afraid of the unknown, the first thing you're going to think is, this is bad. This is not going to change. Things are not going to work out. So that's what's so great about maybe. It allows you to not see everything in your life is so fixed. If you don't get that client, you realize life has maybe. Maybe I'll get another one. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it was best I didn't get that client. If your boss doesn't like the project, maybe I need to work on it. Maybe it was a bad project. Maybe there's something else. And even if you lose your job, maybe that was best. So you're constantly recognizing that there's more out there than this one thing that's sitting in front of you in the moment. And possibly what's happening to you could even be good. So what maybe does, it allows you to open up to possibilities that I find people who are afraid of the unknown, by using maybe, they actually become more positive. Because again, they're willing to hang out in the unknown and they're not scared about it and they're not in this fearful place. So automatically, they're going to be more optimistic about life because they're going to be seeing more hope and more possibility. So I think maybe is a great tool to battle uncertainty, but actually also to stay more positive in your life.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking too, I mean, you know, people don't change overnight. And I imagine for you, even it was a transition of that reminder of, because we can go down that path of, you know, projecting the future, projecting the negative thing happening to how do you stay on track for the maybe?
Right. First of all, I always say, beware of the person who wrote the book. They're the most addicted. So I use maybe every day. And I see myself every day. Of course, I don't need to do long exercises all the time, and I have more faith in my life, but it's an everyday practice. So like you said, how do we stay attentive? How do we stay aware? What I do is the minute I start to feel worried or I start to feel stressed, you know when you're starting to get down, you're starting to get negative. You feel it. You feel it in your body. You feel it in your mind. You start, things just aren't feeling good. You're not as happy as you were 15 minutes ago. So you have a few choices. With this awareness, if you don't have the time to sit down and do an exercise, literally you could start doing 5 maybe statements and it will shift how you're feeling. My favorite one is maybe everything is still okay. Maybe this will get better. Maybe I could figure this out. Maybe in the moment there's something left for me to experience. Those little statements, again, they take you from this place where you're feeling doomed. I'm having a horrible day. It's never going to get better. Things are never going to change, to recognizing that there's a possibility that it will. And if you have more time, there's this great exercise in the first chapter of the book where when you know you're afraid, you know you're upset, you write down your biggest fear. What is your biggest fear? I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I'm never going to find love again. I'm afraid, whatever, I'm afraid this relationship is not going to work out the way I'd hoped. And then ask yourself, am I absolutely certain this thought's true? And most of the time, we're not certain. So the answer is no. And what else is there? And for 20 minutes, if you are willing to write these maybe statements down, whatever they are, it doesn't matter. They could be very specific. They could be very broad. I can almost guarantee after 20 minutes, you're going to feel lighter. You're going to feel more open. And you're going to feel more positive because you're going to see there's more out there. And even if you go from one fear to, and you hold that fear, but you add one possibility to it, then at least you know there's another possibility out there for you in life. And it really changes everything. We don't realize how many stories we tell and how doomed we feel every day. And we don't realize that we're the ones just writing these negative stories, and life will always give us change. And just because there's change, it doesn't mean it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of perspective, you know, of
right.
how we look at those changes. We can be locked into how things we think they should be, and then we're not open. Like I say, you know, this brings up, you know, openness of your heart and your mind to new possibilities that you may never even thought of before. And sometimes there's that, you know, like there's a prayer people say, you know, like this or something greater. And like sometimes we limit ourselves right. even when we're dreaming of something or we have hopes for something. And we put our stamp of this is the form I want to see it in. If it doesn't come that way, we don't even recognize it or accept it. Yeah, open it up to, well, maybe this, but maybe something greater. Because sometimes what comes is better than what you had, the form that you had in mind.
Right. And yet, but like you said, you have to be open enough to receive it. And the reason we're not open enough, the reason why we make that linear plan is because we need to know. I need to know in this moment that I'm working for A, I'm working for X, I'm working for that job, I'm working for that success, because it makes us feel like we're okay today. That's why we tell the story to begin with. It's because we don't feel safe or secure. So if we're willing to open up and not just look at that one way, but say, you know, something like you just said, maybe this or maybe greater, then the game changes. Then we're really in the open playing field where we are really willing to manifest. We're willing to play in a different realm. And what's so great about that, too, the more you're willing to hang out in the unknown, this big, vast realm, the more you're going to cultivate faith in your life, because you're going to see uncertainty is where it's at. Like, if you're willing to hang out in the unknown and you start to see how you manifest, you start to see the synchronicity, and you start to see that fear, it doesn't really feel so good when you could choose hope, life starts to change on so many different levels.
Well, how has your life changed now, then? Let's talk about that.
I have to say that I have a different life. And what's so interesting is the place it's changed the most is in parenting. And I didn't expect that. I never expected that, because you think about parenting is a real tough situation to deal with unknown, because I think the Buddha did say that all desire leads to attachment, all attachment leads to suffering. Find a parent who's not attached to their kid, right? So all of a sudden, you know, I'm doomed to suffer on some level because I need my child to be okay. But if you look at it even closer, you'll see that a lot of suffering as parents is not from attachment. It's from our fear of the unknown. The minute our child gets a 73 on a test, we're projecting, well, they won't be successful in life. Or if they're getting bullied, or if they're having a hard time, we're always projecting, we're always afraid whatever happening today won't change and it won't get better. So for me, parenting was a real whirlwind at first, because it was the greatest uncertainty. You know, it's one thing to manage things for yourself, but to have to manage the uncertainty for your child could be much more overwhelming. And it has really changed my life, because I don't parent in fear. I parent with maybe. And it has given me the resilience and the hope and the opening to always look at situations in a broader way. So I'm less fearful, less worried, less stressed. And I think also this openness that I have also opens possibilities for my kid. I parent better. So for me, that's how my life has changed the most. And other areas, I think I've actually cultivated faith, which means that I don't need to even use maybe. I just kind of am more open about the flow of life. And there are certain areas where I still practice maybe every day, because I still get that rigidness about a bit uptight about, wow, things aren't working out, or that doesn't seem good, or this feels negative. So there are other parts where I still have to use the practice.
Yes, and I'm sure your kids challenge you. Now, do they use, have you taught them to be in the maybe state of mind?
Well, I actually think the most powerful thing that we can do for our children is teach them about maybe, because they see everything. They see everything nowadays. They see when there's a terrorist attack. They hear about global warming. They see an Ebola outbreak. So they're always coming to my room saying, Mom, did you see this? Did you see this? And if you turn around to your child and you say, oh, don't worry about it, this will never happen to you, you've given them absolutely no tools whatsoever to deal with anything that might happen to them in their lifetime. But on the other hand, if you say, yeah, this is terrible, this is awful, then they're going to be afraid and anxiety-ridden, and they're also not going to function. So what maybe does allows them to teach them, yes, honey, this is what's happening in the world, but life has maybe. So you could talk about, just because there's no answer for global warming in this very moment, maybe there will be. Maybe we will figure things out. Maybe you'll be the one to figure things out. So as gloomy as anything looks, if you give your child this idea of maybe, they're going to open up. They're going to be less stressed. They're going to be less worried. It works for exams. It works for friendships. It works for new things in their lives. It works for global issues because they're just always open. They're saying, okay, just because I don't know doesn't mean it's going to be bad. And actually, my daughter the other day came in. She's 17. She came in to me and said, you know, Mom, I'm not a very religious person. You know what I rely on? And I said, what? She goes, I rely on maybe. I almost fell off my chair. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I know, like, if I leave a test and I don't know how I did, I know it's not the end of the road because I know that I have maybe. And if I trial for a play, I know whatever happens, there's something else could happen after that, even if it's bad. There's, life is always maybe. So not knowing is not so bad. And when things don't go my way, I don't even know if that's true. So I'm just living in maybe, and I feel hopeful every day. And out of all the gifts, that was the biggest gift I've ever gotten, to know that at least I help one person.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's a great story.
It's a beautiful gift to give kids.
Yeah, that's a great story. Well, we're going to take another break now. So come back and we'll hear more from Allison Carmen.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Ladies, it's time to treat yourself. Join the Women of Wisdom for their annual fundraiser Saturday, June 4th. This is a sacred pampering day for women at North Seattle College. If you are a business and want to be one of our pamperers, we still have space. It's going to be a day to relax and treat yourself. For more information and to get tickets, visit thewowconference.org. That's the WOW conference.org.
Have you ever tried to make lifestyle changes but had difficulty following through? Imagine what it would be like to get up each morning with energy, clarity, and motivation to tackle the day. If you want to get past limiting barriers that are preventing you from living your best life, join holistic health and wellness coach T. Carrie Mitchell each month on The Dr. Pat Show. Or visit lifestyle120.com today and start to receive the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm speaking with Allison Carmen, and she's the author of the book, The Gift of Maybe. Allison, why don't you take this time right now to share your website with people, or people can find you and find out more about your book and your blog?
Oh, sure. My website is AllisonCarmen.com, And I write a lot about maybe and parenting and business. And it's a really great place to learn about maybe. And you could sign up for the blog and get it on a weekly basis. I also write for Psychology Today, HuffPost, My Mighty Green. And the book you could find in all the major bookstores, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's pretty much everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Okay, so we were talking about, you know, even though our children facing global issues and our fears, you know, we got the Zika virus now, we have terrorism that's going on and climate change. Is there anything else that you want to add in helping people? Because it really adds a lot of fear. I feel it from even it impacts us at Women of Wisdom. I can feel that fear that people have, and it kind of makes them cocoon. I think, you know, stay home and do less. And it's there, you can feel that undercurrent of fear.
And the one thing we also have to do is we also have to be able to separate what's present in this moment right now and what's a projection. And that's the first thing I think we need to do. Because sometimes what we're doing is we're really just writing stories about what's going to lead to the next thing that's going to happen. Like, I remember when the Ebola outbreak happened. There was a fellow who was in Africa, and he came back here, and he went on the subway, and people flipped out. They flipped out that he was on the subway, and they went bowling, and moms weren't letting their kids go to school. And yes, you know, we have to be smart about things, but sometimes we have to look like, am I projecting? Am I fixed that just because this is happening today, that does that mean it's going to be bad tomorrow? And so we have to allow this element of maybe in there. Yes, it's not like we're not going to act. It's not like we're going to go to the fellow's house and ask him if he wants to play Mahjong. But at the same time, you know, we have to say, okay, you know, where's the maybe here? Where's the story that I'm writing? Maybe things can get better. Maybe I'm okay in this moment. And also, too, what's so interesting about the fears that we have is that we really are giving up this moment. We're giving up this moment for everything that could happen tomorrow. And we could also say, maybe there's something I can experience in this moment. Maybe there's something I could do to help this crisis. Maybe things will change. Maybe they're going to get better. So what we're doing is we're not turning our back on it, but we're kind of softening it. We're lessening like the grip on all the worst things that could happen, and we're putting some hope and possibility around it. And what I also see is the more you're in maybe, the more likely you're going to help. Because you're not writing the story of doom and gloom and what's the point. You're willing to like peek outside your window and say, hey, maybe there's something I can do. So, and we really don't know. The most amazing thing is we don't know. Look, they controlled the Ebola outbreak, right? So now this new virus, the Zika virus, for all we know, in the next 2 months, there could be a shot that they can, there could be a vaccine, or it could stop and the mosquitoes could die. We don't know. All we know is here we are in the moment, that maybe we could find a way. Maybe there's something that will change. Maybe everything is okay. So we have to keep plugging along somehow. And I think maybe is a great platform to look at all these things that scare us and soften them. Again, it's not like some people are able to let go of the fear. Even if you have the fear, you will see there's other possibilities. So I really think maybe is an amazing tool to look at all the things that frighten us in life. Because it softens it. It quiets it a little bit because we recognize that there's more than this horrible thing that could possibly happen. Just because it's bad doesn't mean it's going to get worse. And just because it's bad doesn't mean it can't get better. Maybe reminds us of that.
Yeah, and it also made me think of it's putting positive energy towards solutions and putting energy towards people who are creative, who are scientists, or, you know, rather than the negative doom and gloom, which is putting negativity, because that energy goes around the world and that's people fun. Pick up on it too. And so just putting our positive energy, like maybe there's solutions to this climate change. Maybe there's going to be a healing for this Zika virus, all that stuff, putting the energy towards that will actually make things happen faster than putting the negativity out there. So you're right.
I agree, but you can't just demand that. If you can't say, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. When people say that, I'm always amazed. It's hard for people. It's hard for people not to be afraid. It's hard for people not to be scared because they're afraid of the unknown and they're afraid they're not safe and they're afraid they're not okay. So that's why they're staying in their house and they're in a cocoon. But that's why maybe it's so beautiful and it's so gentle because it just says, hey, maybe there's another possibility. It opens the door a little bit so someone feels safe enough to kind of creep out of the hole, peek out, and say, okay, maybe I could soften this a little bit. Maybe I could take a deep breath and maybe I could help, or maybe there is something good can happen. So it's so gentle and it's so kind and it's so loving. And I think that is an amazing shift for people, because when you start to give people hope, that's when they're going to spread their wings and start to fly. But to demand people to be different than they've been since they're a kid, it's hard. It's really hard. Who knows? Maybe their mother was negative, their father was negative, maybe something bad happened in their lives. So we have to be gentle with people. And so I think maybe if we could all just shift into this maybe idea, I could see many more people acting, helping, feeling positive, and spreading a different energy around the world.
Mm-hmm. Just like you're doing. Well, I have a question, because my show is Voices of Women. Do you think women suffer from these fears and anxiety more than men?
That's such an interesting question. And the answer is no, I do not. I think women are more honest about it. I think they're more open about it. But I have just as many male clients as I do female clients, and it just manifests in different ways. Like, I have so many male clients who are afraid of uncertainty, and that's how they run their businesses. They run their businesses based on the fear of the unknown, and they limit themselves. So I have to say that I think it's equal. I just think it manifests differently in both. Women, sometimes they'll come to me in parenting more often than a male will. But I also think just because they have maybe more access to me, I don't know. But I think it's people don't feel safe, and it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman.
True. And I think you're right. It will express itself in different ways, because we manage things differently. But other thing is, because you talked about, you know, working with male clients and a lot of, you know, businessmen and stuff. But maybe you could share some your favorite stories of, you know, clients or been featured in the book, that because, you know, stories really explain things in a wonderful way.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is that I was not planning on sharing this philosophy with anybody. It wasn't like I came across this and I was like, oh, I'm going to go out and tell everybody about maybe. It was my personal philosophy. It was my private world that was making me feel better. It was alleviating my stress and worry. I was more present. And then the 2008 crash happened and all my clients flipped out, because no matter how they were doing business before the market crashed, the banks weren't lending money. People weren't coming in to buy. And everybody just wanted it to be the way it was before, and that was not going to happen. So I was trying to help all these clients. I was looking at their financial statements. I was looking at their marketing. And no matter what I did, I really wasn't having any movement, because the economy wasn't changing in the moment. And I remember one day I was on the phone with this fellow who owned this beautiful store in Chelsea. He sold these beautiful lamps and vintage furniture. And I was so desperate to help him. I said, you know something? I'm just going to tell him the maybe story. I'm going to tell him the farmer story. And you know something? I shared with him the story, and we talked a little bit. And actually, I was in person with him. I wasn't on the phone. We were in person. And it changed everything for him. It was the only thing that he was willing to think about, because it was the only, because he was so busy thinking he knew what was going to happen next based on what happened yesterday, that maybe was the only thing that gave him some relief. It was like, okay. It was like, all right, maybe the economy will get better. Maybe I need to change the way I'm operating. Maybe I need to give up my lease. He had this lease with a huge store, and it was like he couldn't think past the way his life had been. Maybe makes me see that I'm not stuck and I'm not doomed. That maybe what he said to me is, I'm going to shut my store. Maybe I'm going to shut my store down. I'm going to negotiate the lease with the fellow that I rent the store from. I'm going to sell online. So all of a sudden, he was so willing to do things differently, because he saw that just because it's going to be different doesn't mean it's going to be bad. That maybe I could survive this and maybe things will get better. And today he's one of my most successful clients. He shut his store down. He just sells online. He's starting his own furniture line. He's doing great. But it was only because he was willing to let go of yesterday. See, that's what maybe does. It allows you to let go of the past. You say, well, maybe it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Maybe it could be different. Again, one little word, but it liberates you from the past. And it liberates you from the future, and you come right to the moment. And when you're in the moment, you're present enough to change your life.
I remember in the book that even with this client, you talked, there was an exercise of working with a door.
Yes. It's so funny. Sometimes I wouldn't understand. A client would say, oh, I love maybe. And I wouldn't understand. They'd leave my office and nothing would change. And one afternoon I was watching the movie Madagascar with my children. And there's a scene where this lion gets thrown out of the jungle. And then all of a sudden, the animators made this door. And the lion's trying to get back in, through the door, and he's banging, 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 because he got thrown out that way. He was trying to get back in, and he never bothered to look. There was nothing to the right of the door, nothing to the left of the door, nothing above the door. He could have gone back into that jungle so many different ways, but he just wanted it to be the way he wanted to go back in, the way he got thrown out. And I realized that's what my clients were doing. All they wanted to do was recreate yesterday because their business was good. This product was selling. Everything was great. But that's not how life is. Sometimes your product stops selling. Sometimes you have less clients. Some you need to make a change. And so when I was able to approach it with them with this visualization, they started to see, oh, and I'd had them, what I'd have them do is I'd have them look at this thing that was causing them so much pain, and I'd ask them to look at it like it was a door in front of their face. And then I'd ask them to, and they would, I say, what did you feel? They said, I feel stuck. I feel horrible. And then I'd ask them to pull this one problem, this one thought, this one way they used to do business, pull it away from your face and look at it as a door, and then look at what's around the door. And for some reason, when they're able to see all the space around the door, all the space around this one problem or this one way they were doing business before, they're like, oh, that's the maybe. Yeah, that's the maybe. There's so much more. And for some reason, I don't know, it just, the minute I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's what all my clients are thinking. So
yeah, that's a good analogy, too, to look at look at it as there's a door in front of you. Well, we have to take another break. This is Chris Dana, so we're going to take a break and talk more when we come back with Allison Carmen.
Ladies, it's time to treat yourself. Join the Women of Wisdom for their annual fundraiser Saturday, June 4th. This is a sacred pampering day for women at North Seattle College. If you are a business and want to be one of our pamperers, we still have space. It's going to be a day to relax and treat yourself. For more information and to get tickets, visit thewowconference.org. That's the W-O-W conference.org.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and we've been chatting with Allison Carmen, and she has her book, The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times, which we certainly are in these uncertain times. Well, we were just talking about that door exercise, and I think that's an excellent way to look at when we get stuck or get caught up in our fears or, you know, stuff happens and we think there's no way out, to look at, and one thing is just open the door, but to look around, there's other doors, you know, or there's no, you know, empty space around this door, which means unlimited possibilities.
Right. Yeah. And often that, you know, the door is closed. Sometimes the door is closed and it's not going to open. Right. So we have to find another way. So we could bang our head against the door and it's going to hurt. Or we could just look beyond that and see that life always offers us. If there's breath, there's hope. There's maybe there's something else. We just forget it. I don't know. It's maybe not everybody does, but a lot of us are wired that way. And so we have to find a way to remember. How can we remember that life has more possibilities? That's what it's all about. And when we remember that, we'll suffer less.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it reminds me of looking for signs. Like the universe, I think, speaks to us in many ways. And when we are stuck on this area that we think something has to be a certain way, or you know, something horrible happened, or we're projecting the future is going to happen, that we look for signs. You know, sometimes it's a billboard sign. Sometimes it's hearing somebody say a word or listening to a radio station that goes, oh, wow, I could look at it. You know, it opens up the door to look at things a different way. And so that's being present, to look for opportunities that give you insight into how you can change it to make it work. Well, one of the things that in your book that you talk about, we want to talk about, is how we struggle with regret. Now, that's being caught in the past, too. You know, so...
Yeah, and it's so interesting because of all the stories that people come into my office with, it's the story of regret. And it's interesting about the story of regret. It's such a clean story because we never got to experience it. People will come into my office and say, if I would have went into business with Sam 5 years ago, I'd be a millionaire today. If I would have married that woman, I would be happy today. But we never got to play it out. So, of course, it looks clean. And we never bothered to see, well, maybe it would have been good to be in business with him. He could have cheated. I could have been at the wrong place at the wrong time. I could have got sick. Maybe that woman would have been horrible. We never think that. So we walk around with the story and we hold it and it limits our lives. We live in pain that we made a wrong choice. And at the same time, we don't allow ourselves to let go of that fear and experience what we can in the moment. And one of the most interesting regret stories is about my dad. He's 83 today. And over a couple of summers ago, we were sitting at the table and he always wanted to be in Hollywood and a writer. And his father made him become an engineer. And he would always say, oh, if I didn't make the good choice in my life, and I would have been in Hollywood, and I would have wrote all these scripts, and I had such a great life. And growing up, I always heard this story. And then one day, we were sitting at the table, I said, Dad, you know, that's the reverse, maybe. You have no idea. The pilots could have gotten canceled. Scripts could have not been bought. You have no idea what life would have been like. And I wouldn't be here today. You probably wouldn't have met Mom. I go, that is a reverse, maybe. And maybe those choices wouldn't have been better. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, maybe you're right. But what's so interesting about that story is after we had that conversation, my father started to blog. He started to write. My father started to watch documentary films and give his critiques. And he even started to advise on a film. It didn't get made, but he became an advisor on a film. All these things happened because my father looked at the past and said, maybe it wouldn't have been better. We never talked about him doing things differently in the future. I think it like released that fear, that regret, that sadness, and it made him see that I'm here today and maybe everything is as it's supposed to be and maybe I could still have the life that I want. So that's what's so powerful about the conversation about maybe and regret, because it makes you see maybe that wouldn't have been better and maybe I didn't make the wrong decision. And it's so powerful because some of us live with so much pain about what we didn't do in our lives. So I think it's a real game changer if you're willing to look at it.
And that's, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, your father being 83, that, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, people who are older are less likely to make change, but that's not true.
Yeah. Right. And all he needed to do was to look at that one piece. And what's more interesting, my friend really, she became obsessed with my book. And one day she was sitting with her stepmother, who's also in her 80s, and she was telling the story about how when her mother was ill in the hospital, she left the room and her mother died. And for her entire life, for 56 years, it weighed on her. And my girlfriend gave her the book. And that one little thought, maybe I was supposed to leave the room. Mm-hmm. Maybe my mother wouldn't have passed if I would have stayed in the room. Maybe that's what my mother wanted. It sounds so simple, but she never bothered to think any other thought other than, I'm a bad daughter, I should have never left that room. And this idea of maybe it changed her life because it allowed her to contemplate not misery and unhappiness and guilt, but maybe everything was as it was supposed to be, and maybe it's okay. And maybe that's what my mother wanted. It just, it sounds so simple, but when you give the mind and not one other possibility other than the fact that I messed my life up and this was wrong, well, maybe it wasn't. And maybe everything is supposed to be as it is. It just releases people, gives people this freedom that they didn't have because they're so busy telling the story of what should have been.
Right. And being in that guilt and shame of that, guilty, and she's not guilty. Her mother made the choice. Everybody makes their own choice of when they're going to pass.
But we're very good at spinning stories, right? We're very good at spinning stories, and regret is so sneaky. But we really have to look at it. We have to be willing to look and say, maybe I have no idea. Maybe it would not have been better. That's why I just say, maybe it wouldn't have been better. And even if it would, maybe from this point forward, I could still change my life. And then I've seen people liberate. This woman, it's incredible. I mean, one little word liberated her from this guilt she had her entire life. So we just have to be willing to look at it, and life can change.
And maybe, here using the word maybe, but maybe those lessons, they're there for lessons for us, that we had to go through that for us to learn the lesson to move forward. And if we stay caught in that guilt and regret, we're never going to learn the lesson. We're not going to move forward.
Right.
And
most importantly, we're going to suffer. I am so not into suffering. And maybe it really is this beautiful word that alleviates suffering. It's easy, it's simple, and it takes you from this really cramped place in your mind where you feel doomed to this open place where you feel hopeful. So, you know, to me, that's a winning, it's a winning word.
Yes, it's great. When, you know, I love it that it's simple too. I think things are, sometimes the most powerful things are simple things. Well, what is your last words of advice? I'd say for finding joy in the moment and that you want to leave with the audience.
I think that the reason why we're not finding joy in the moment is because we're projecting into the future. And I hope that the people listening to this call can use this little word to let them bring them back to this moment, and they could say to themselves, maybe there's something in this moment for me to experience. There always is. We just have to be willing and open. So I hope this word alleviates suffering and brings more joy and openness to everyone's life.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with everybody in your book and on the show. Thank you for being on the show today, Allison.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've had a blast. Thank you.
Okay. So you can check out her blog post at the website is www.allisoncarman.com. And I went in and I read it. That, you know, she has several articles, and they're day-to-day things that happen, and with some great advice of, you know, bringing that place to maybes. So I hope everybody has a good maybe weekend coming up. So this is Chris Stanis, and I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom. And as I said before, we're so looking forward to our 25th year. We are doing some fundraising. We're going to have our dinner on this Sunday in Seattle. You can still sign up for the dinner. And fabulous food is going to be in great company. It's going to be in the Ballard area of Seattle. Just go to our website, womenofwisdom.org. Also, our pampering day, there's still room for a few more pamperers. It's a very intimate gathering, community, pampering, setting, and just a really fun day, and just, you know, to rejuvenate yourself, hang out with women. Like I said, it's intimate, small, and you'll get to experience, 100 minutes of pampering for $50. Where can you get that? You know, seeing 4 different people at 25 minutes each and exploring, you know, you can, you know, get a tarot reading, have some, I'm not as exactly sure, but you get some intuitive readings or energy healings. There's a lot of variety that's going to be there. So check that out on our website, womenofwisdom.org. And also check out my book. It's an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's an inspirational book of the divine feminine, many different voices. It shares stories of women who have their lives changed over many, many years. Like I said, we're going into our 25th year. So check that out. You can read about it on the Women of Wisdom website. Okay, so we come to the end of the show. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stanis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stanis.